We've been holding the theme here at Smith Sabatino this particular week on Veterans Week rather than just Veterans Day. We have a guest on the phone now by the name of Dan McCormick. He has been a guest on Smith Sabatino before, talking about a number of issues that deal with veterans. Every year, Dan writes a interesting blog about his feelings about Veterans Day, and he shares that with a few select people. I read his all of the years that I've been receiving emails from him, but I also read this year's, and I thought I'd like, Carl, that we should really share this with our audience. So, first of all, welcome Dan McCormick once again to Smith Sabatino.
Thanks, Ron and Carl. We really appreciate an opportunity to be with you.
It's a pleasure.
Would you share with us your blog for this Veterans Day?
It really would be my honor to do this, and thank you again for the privilege. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month is the time we observe Veterans Day. Observance is the correct word. It's certainly not a time for celebration. There's no joy in war. Today is clearly a time for reflection, being grateful for the men and women who served, being thankful that we live in a country like America, and that our lives are better because of those that paved our way. It's not a time of jubilation, rather a time of remembrance. Recently, a dear friend of mine and retired Army general pointed out that the majority of our top military leaders have never experienced boots-on-the-ground combat situations. We happen to be in a time when the military leaders that were platoon leaders and company commanders during Vietnam have retired, and those that are in service now were too young to be combat soldiers during that war. He and I, both combat veterans, looked at one another knowingly and says, "It does make a difference." Interestingly, the vast majority of our congressmen and women also have never served in combat. Yet these are the people making political decisions and influencing global military strategies that impact us all. While this writer has no platform upon which to second-guess our military and congressional leadership, it does cause one to wonder if our current military engagements would be different if our leaders had experienced combat firsthand. The author Ayn Rand once said, "We are the sum total of our life experiences." If that's true, we might assume that wartime decisions made by those who actually fought in war might differ from those that have never been face-to-face with a hostile force. That said, our wars today are not the wars of our fathers. They may not even be our wars. The deployment of troops to fight in the type of war where we secure invisible lines on a map, or try to push the forward edge of the battle area, or try to take high ground that has been replaced with technology and remote engagement tactics. Our congressional leaders debate whether we actually need boots on the ground in the Middle East to conquer our enemies there. We probably answered that question in Hiroshima. While we seem willing to pay the price day by day, no one, hopefully, is willing to play the nuclear card. Our terrible swift sword is now a drone flying unseen and unheard overhead in some foreign land, being piloted from a metal container in Nevada by a kid that grew up on video games in which real people did not die. Individual explosive devices left by children are wounding our soldiers on the ground. Car bombs are exploded from miles away, indiscriminately killing all that are close by, using cell phones relayed through satellites that our country put into space using our tax dollars. Our jets fire laser-guided guided missiles into buildings where remote sensing from space tells us the enemy is lurking, and our drones launch lightning from the sky toward targets, hoping to limit civilian damage. Cyber attacks from other quarters threaten our lives daily in ways we can't even predict. From Manhattan to Main Street and Boston to our bedrooms, we all feel the dread of the next attack. With all the lives, energy, and other costs of recent wars, it's sad to read the recent NBC Wall Street Journal survey indicating that 47% of those polled feel our country is less safe now than it was in 2006, and that was 5 years after 9/11/2001 attack. 61% of our Americans support military action for the current ISIS threat, but the majority feel it should be limited to airstrikes and not deploy troops on the ground. All of these new threatening tactics tend to depersonalize the war as we watch from the safety of our living rooms. The only part that keeps us balanced is the sobering number of body bags that we watch being offloaded from planes, draped in flags, knowing they're the sons, the daughters, husbands, and wives of our families, neighbors, and friends. The blank look on the faces of our young returning veterans, cultivated by more than a year of living with the knowledge they are never truly safe, hints at the life-altering emotional scars that for some may never heal. Because we are fortunate to be removed from the sound and fury of battle, at the end of the day, it's not the conduct of war that gives us pause, rather the human costs. Ultimately, we all long for a world free of conflict, and yet, as our leaders tell us that we have neutralized Al-Qaeda, then something called ISIS appears. Politics gives way to religion, and we seem hell-bent on killing one another in the name of God. It seems some so-called faith leaders are very good at finding scriptural reasons for us to be in conflict, and yet unable to embrace basic tenets of loving one another, being tolerant of our differences, and realizing that the world is big enough for an unlimited number of differing beliefs. While honoring our military veterans is worthy, the fact that we are increasing the ranks of new veterans every day is not. At some point, we need to find a way to stop and live in peace. On this Veterans Day, or as our English friends call it, the Day of Remembrance, we have no cause to celebrate. We have little hope of conflict between countries, sex, and cultures ending in our lifetime. While celebration of the end of conflict is warranted, reveling in the path to victory is not. Knocking down our enemies may elicit a sense of winning, but it doesn't make us taller. Dan McCormick, First Lieutenant, former First Lieutenant, 199th Light Infantry Brigade, Vietnam, 1969-70.
Dan McCormick, it was magnificent. When I read your blog, this missive to basically, you know, I wish it could be to America. I know you sent it to a few select people, but it's truly extraordinary. What was the motivation for you to start writing a blog on Veterans Day a number of years ago?
It seems difficult for most veterans that I know. Certainly, I can only speak really for myself to get over the stoic place of not wanting to forget, but not really wanting to remember your time in combat. I've always believed that everybody's moment in combat and time in war is extraordinarily unique. I believe that you can walk side by side with someone for a year in combat and come back with a different place and feel differently. And it took me, Roland, it took me years to get to a place to kind of embrace that. I avoided military movies. I didn't go to war movies. It was just hard to relive that. Prior to going to Vietnam, I was a hunter. I hunted a lot as a kid and loved hunting. I went once after returning and have never gone again. Something about sitting in the field with a weapon across my lap is just not a pleasant time. And so it came about when I began to embrace and try to kind of get my arms around, you know, my feelings for that. And then also recognizing that all of us who have done that, no matter what war, truly are brothers in arms. And my father was a veteran in World War II, and ultimately that was the thinking behind starting to talk about it a little bit without really talking about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to thank you for talking about it for the rest of us, because I think that's very important, and I know Carl agrees with me.
Yes, I do. I think, Dan, that We were talking about this a bit earlier on by talking about it, by explaining it, by commiserating, if I may use that term, by stating the case. You state the issue, and you did it very, very well. Bless you.
Well, it's very, very nice of you to say that, Carl. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing airtime and giving me an opportunity to do this. And,
well,
I hope. If a single person or veteran hears this and pauses and thinks and pauses and remembers, it was certainly worth my time, and I feel rewarded that it could happen.
Thank you, Dan, very much. We'll talk to you hopefully long before next Veterans Day.
Call.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Rollins.
Thank
Bye.
You. Call Sabatino, Rollins Smith, Smith Sabatino. Until next time.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-533-3091, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-533-3091. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-533-3091. That's 800-533-3091.